Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Dialogue. This is Terry D. Kester, and it's a pleasure to be here with you and with Mark Levine and with Garland Nixon. And we're going to be talking about a variety of things tonight. And to begin with, you know that it's a pledge drive. Now, one of the things we haven't had an opportunity to do here, guys, is ring the bell for a new member. So we need some new members here so we can get the ring the bell. It's a pretty exciting bell, and I know you'll enjoy ringing it. Couple of things just before we get into our major topic. Well, except hello, Garland.
Hello,
good to see you guys. Okay. All right, just a couple of little blurbing that we're doing here, just in the politics as usual column. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this. You probably did. President Obama gave a rousing photo op patriotic speech to sailors and Marines down at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. That made page two of the Washington Post. That was nice. But nowhere to be found was the real reason for his trip to Florida, which was a dinner, a schmooze dinner at the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami, a nice dinner for the Florida moneyed pro-Cuban embargo groups. And that embargo's been going on for about 50 years.
I thought Obama was against that embargo.
Yeah, well, that wasn't why he was at the dinner. He's raising some money for the DNC, of course. And
I thought he agreed to lift that embargo.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, he had
dinner. I remember a certain campaign promise.
Because he went to the dinner does not indicate that he's agreed to lift any. It indicates one thing. You got to raise money in politics.
Yeah, you guys didn't go to the dinner. On. And all you had to do to go to dinner for like the two of you or any other couple you want would be $30,400.
Well, I could just pay for that right now.
You can. I'll see if we can get another dinner. We'll all go. $30,400. Isn't that great?
$70,000. And if you pledge $30,400 today,
you can go.
You can go. Right.
We'll give you our show.
Yeah, we'll give you the airfare and everything else. We'll give you the Fontainebleau. I worked at the Fontainebleau. I want to tell you, that's a mafia-run hotel. I got physically, never mind. But not a nice place. Not a nice place. And adding in the same politics as usual column, just you may have caught this, Bush Labor Secretary, former Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, no friend of labor, now an international...
That's the wife of Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader.
Yes, but now she is an international consultant for the largest city in central China, Wuhan.
It's very important for the wife of the head of the Republicans to be working for China.
Yeah.
How else are we going to get Chinese interests through... The Congress.
Yeah, and not only that.
If the Republicans are not in the pocket of China, who else
who
is?
Who can be? And right. You're right. And not only that, but she's a good friend to really cheap sweatshop labor.
Right.
So, it's going to work out.
It's great because now, paying 6 cents an hour
for
those Nikes, we can make sure that lots of Chinese people get jobs.
It's a win-win for Walmart. What more could you ask?
Exactly. They'll be higher unemployment in the United States, but you know what? Poor people don't vote anyway.
Well,
no,
they can't buy anything.
I don't think it's going to make it harder to call the president a socialist, do you?
I don't know.
He's a socialist, yet you're working
for the communists.
Well,
I want you to think about this.
Yeah. He's a socialist,
wife,
for God's sake.
The wife
of
the most powerful Republican in the United States is working for communist China.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I just want you to think about that, because I got a call yesterday on my TV show by a guy that told me he was against the public option for health care because, and this is a direct quote, Richard from Arlington, if you're listening to me, you know who you are. Or was it Robert? It was Robert from Arlington.
Oh, yeah, poor Richard.
He said, quote, Obama's a Marxist, unquote.
Oh,
and
brother.
I just want to know if Robert realizes that the Republican Party is working for the communists.
They are now.
Hello?
Can you imagine?
She's formerly with the Heritage Institute, too. So, I mean, now I guess the Heritage Institute is also working with
They're all pinko communists.
The Republicans are all pinko communists.
Let's be clear.
This is astounding.
And you know what's funny about this? Here a few weeks ago, there was this big hullabaloo. Remember this big hullabaloo because some marginal associate of Barack Obama said something about Mao.
She quoted from Mao Zedong.
That's almost as bad as quoting from Confucius, isn't it?
It's worse.
It's worse? Good heavens. Well, anyway, all right, next thing, moving right along. In politics, not as usual, and I'm sure you caught this, Senator Harry Reid says he will bring the public option to the Senate floor.
And that's only because of the work of Garland Nixon and me, I got to tell you.
No, that's only because of the work of God and Nixon, you and me, and getting our listeners to call Harry Reid and say, look, Harry, shape up or else.
We got to get a lot. We got to take full credit for this.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, we do.
Because, and our WPFW listeners, too, because we have done, what, 7, 8, 9 shows on the
15,
public option?
At least.
I mean, more than any other topic we've ever done on the Raucous Caucus.
Well, this screws everything
up. The public option. And
what do you mean? We haven't got any topics now?
No.
We told people to call Harry Reid. Yeah. Right. You don't have to live in Nevada to call Harry Reid. Right. We gave out the phone numbers. I want a medal.
Well, what screws everything up?
I want a medal.
Nobel Peace Prize? Will that do for you?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. Iron Cross. Hey, what screws everything up is I was going to wait for my actual show and just leave you guys out of it and take all the credit.
You guys jumped ahead of me.
I did more than President Obama did when he got the Nobel Prize. So, I want the prize.
Let's not go there. But this does mean you still have to call Harry Reid and, one, thank him.
Yes,
and
you do.
And, two, say keep it up. And, three, don't back down, Harry. Give them hell, Harry.
And let me say something. The public option that's being offered by Harry Reid has a fig leaf that concerns some of the left but does not concern me. And that is that states can opt out of it.
Yes.
And there are some on the left that are saying it's not real, it's not a public option. I disagree. I think it's fine. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't think states are going to opt out.
No.
If one or two states opt out, if Wyoming and Alaska opt out, the people there are going to get so angry at the Republican government because they're going to say, why do the people of the other 48 states get a public option? We don't give it. They'll throw out the Republicans and we'll have Democrats ruling Wyoming for
the first time.
Well, the other thing about it is, as long as some form of public option comes out of the Senate, when the Senate and the House come together, they have something to work with. That's the important thing. An opt-out thing, you can deal with, as Mark said, that's not a big deal. Just come out with something that says public option out of the Senate.
The trigger concerned me because I was an opt-in.
I think you're right on that, Mark. All that's going to happen is anybody with an IQ over 75 is going to leave Texas. That's not a large percentage.
They're not losing anybody.
They'll just leave Texas because Texas obviously won't have a public
Austin
option.
Austin is a very nice place.
Austin is. The rest of Texas
can sink into the... Oh, did I say that?
Anybody over 70, IQ of 75? Well, the whole Dallas Cowboys team, they'll still be there.
Well, in that case, never mind.
They won't lose any Cowboys fans.
We won't go there. Okay, the Raucous Caucus is off to a quiet start. It is still pledge drive time, guys, and we have a fantastic pledge you're not going to believe here. Now, this is a fantastic thing. We are going to offer you as a gift, if you pledge $89.30, you will be invited. We'll arrange the schedule later. You will be invited to guest host with us.
Well, not guest host. To be with us.
That's what I mean.
With the three of us. Let's put this. You might get a word in edgewise.
We'll open a little gap.
To sit with us.
No.
To talk on the air.
You might even be able to. Well, we certainly will consider a suggested topic. But the whole point is, for $89.30, you're not going to get an offer like this anywhere. $89.30, you get to come here and meet Garland and Mark and me and sit with us and engage in dialogue with our listeners. So that's our pledge gift to you tonight. I mean, now if you've got the dinner already, that's cool. But, that's only the start. I mean, you can actually be right here in the studio with us.
Well, it's Ben's Chili Bowl, so we're not going to Ben's Chili Bowl first, okay?
No, we're not going to Ben's Chili Bowl first. Yeah, we're not going to combine all this into one thing.
No.
But the number is
Mark's got this look on his face like, I don't get it. Ben's Chili Bowl, never mind. We don't want to go to that kind of humor.
Okay. Chili Bowl. All those people that pledge, we are definitely going out.
Yeah. Crude humor, Mark.
And the number is 202.
Oh, I get it now. Never mind.
All right. Concentrate, gentlemen. Concentrate. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739. Pledge $89.30. Join us on the Raucous Caucus if you dare. We're not that bad. I mean, we really are. We'll be nice to you. We promise you that. Well, we'll try to be nice to you, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Terry and I will be nice to you. Mark, we can't promise you anything.
Yeah, it's a dosage thing,
If you don't want to appear in the Raucous Caucus, you can still donate $89.30 or even be 35 and be a member, or heck, even just $10. We would appreciate to show that you appreciate dialogue, you appreciate WPFW.
Yeah. absolutely.
You know, pledge absolutely. Any amount, we could use it.
And we'll get back to pitching at you and reminding you a little bit. A little bit of business we got to take care of, too, guys. Just regarding those who bought the Ben's dinner situation, the joining us for dinner.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, we'll call you guys. We'll get in touch with you in the next couple of weeks to try to set up a schedule and everything.
We're thinking about a weekend, like a Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. Whatever's
but
most convenient.
We have
to you
a number of people on the list that haven't sent their pledges in yet. They've
they can't come to dinner.
No,
then.
You're going to miss out on this great feast, you know. So make sure you get your pledge in.
When we call you, we'll remind you about it.
Yeah, we will.
And we're not going to tell you the date unless you pay your.
That's right. If for some reason or other you are sure you did make that pledge and did want, you know, to be part of this, and we do not call you within the next couple of weeks, give us 2 weeks here to get this organized. But if we do not call you, then
we can do it in 1 week.
Yeah, well, you're optimist. Yeah, you know, make sure you call Tiffany
Pollyanna.
Just to double check that we've got you listed, because we don't want to miss anybody that joined us. And to give you guys an idea of how great our listeners are, I don't want to embarrass her, but we have a volunteer right out there right now named Gwen, who not only is joining us for dinner at Ben's Chili Bowl, but she's out there volunteering on the phones waiting for your calls, for the rest of the calls.
Give
to come
out
in.
The number again, Ted.
202-588-9739. Give Gwen a call.
If you like dialogue, don't forget, in all seriousness, you know, WPFW is a 50,000-watt station, which you will be on 50,000 watts, reaching almost to Richmond, Maryland,
scary.
Delaware.
I know some of our listeners.
I got to correct one thing there, just, and I don't mean to correct anybody. I mean, but the 50,000 watts we were talking about last week, you know, back in the old days, that was AM, not FM. Big difference.
Right.
But the Clear Channel the thing is, they were Clear Channel broadcast, which, like you say, no other frequency could cut in on them, and that's why you could hear WBAI halfway across the country. Right. You could hear KMOX halfway across the country. There were only about 10 stations, maybe nationwide, that had that kind of power.
Yep.
So we got power, too, guys.
Yeah, so, and you know, let's face it, it costs a lot of money to keep a powerful station like this up.
Well,
it costs a lot of
just
money.
Just to crank on the generator, you know.
Yeah.
You wear that out every week, you know.
But we got to keep this thing going.
I think
we
out that mic cover. Though.
Yes,
especially these little wind covers. Yeah.
And we can say what we want, and mad men like the three of us can be on the air every week because we do not take corporate money. We are not beholden to the big money, the insurance companies, and so we can rip them all every week, which, of course, if you listen to Dialogue, you know we do.
Well, we're a little
and
bit
you'll
beholden.
Appreciate it.
You know, a little bit beholden because we got to take the medication before we come
in. Yeah, you're right
the
about
booth,
that.
You know.
I
mean, but other than that,
some more than others.
Terry, what are you on?
Okay.
I come here sober.
Oh, yeah.
$89.30. That's it. $89.30, which 89.3, 89.30. That's easy to remember. 202-588-973. Don't forget, you can also go to WPFW.org
to make your pledge. And you can do it with Visa, MasterCard, Discover, etc., right?
Man.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear those phones start to ring there. Let's get some calls in. You get to join us on the air, $89.30, and we'll work out all the details as soon as you get your pledge in here. So last night of the pledge drive, it all ends tonight. So all we got to do, by the way, we do have, you know, we do have a challenge grant from Andy Shalah, Busboys and Poets. And if you guys pledge at the $50 level or more, and tonight we're asking for $89.30, Andy Shalah, Busboys and Poets, they will match that pledge up to
really?
$50. Yes. Yes. So that means your contribution will be twice as good.
Wow.
So, you know, get that pledge in so we can get the matching pledge as well.
Yeah, and support Dialogue, you know, so we can at least show that we have a listener or two every now and then. Support us. Let everybody here know that you love the show.
And you know that next week we'll be back to the regular format with having listeners, you know, calling in and everything else.
But, yeah, we're not going to do pledge drive every week.
No, we're not.
But the more you pledge, the less we have to do.
That's right. Think about that.
That's right. It's simple math. One other piece of business we got to do, because I know we get carried away sometimes. I know you find this hard to believe, but sometimes we get carried away towards the end of the show. I'm going to announce right now, Brother Ah and the Jazz Collection is right after us, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that as well, okay? That's in there. Maybe I'll remember it at the end as well. Okay, gentlemen, let's talk about a couple of topics here. I got what I want to do is just a round table on about three topics that we'll cover a bit, and then we'll do a little pledge pitch, and then we'll do a little topic, and that way we'll educate the entire world. You know, so it should be good.
I don't think they realize you're doing a little dance here, Terry.
I know. They told all of us we can't put our hands on the table, so I'm going to just have to dance.
No, the trick is don't bang your hands on the table.
Oh, Oh, I can put my
like
hands
as you make a point. Don't like bam, bam, bam.
That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, put the gavel
away.
How
long have you been in radio, Jerry?
Yeah, my first grade teacher told me that too, you know? Yeah. Yeah, you know what happened? Never mind.
TMI.
Okay. Anyway, swine flu.
H1N1 virus.
H1N1. Yeah. I mean,
don't call it swine flu. The pig farmers will get very upset with
you. Hey, I got to mention in terms of that one other thing, and then we get right to the topic. I'm sorry. Hey, a lot of
swine
business.
Made you think of something?
A lot of business. Yes. Yes. Because,
speaking of pork.
Because tomorrow, Wednesday, tomorrow on What's at Stake, which I host on tomorrow, Wednesday, What's at Stake, we will be doing the first radio drama that has been recorded, performed at WPFW in the last 34 years.
Wow.
Is it about swine?
It's about, actually, rationing of medical supplies in the Revolutionary War era. Just to show you, if nothing else, I mean, that's not the whole thing.
I don't see the connection to swine flu for some reason.
Well, there happens to be a pig in there as well.
Oh,
there
okay.
Really
well,
does. There's
Arnold
a pig
Ziffle
in there because of...
Does the pig have lines in this?
No, not lines that are really...
It's not like Homer Simpson's pig.
It's not like Babe or anything like that.
I think he had lines in that movie, right? No, I love pigs.
No, that's because somebody's trying to barter the pig. But anyway, it's the first live drama recorded in WPFW is 34 years, I think it's been, since they've recorded one. If we get enough support for this, we will be doing more live dramas. Who knows? We might even get Mark and Garland involved in a drama.
I don't do pig impressions.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That's not what your resume says, Mark. All right. Swine flu. I mean, there's resistance to some people getting vaccinated, which is interesting in and of itself.
By whom? The people themselves?
Yeah. Well,
there's not a vaccine for those of us who are intelligent enough to get a vaccine. So I say, let the dumb people who don't want the vaccine, let's get enough vaccine for those of us who are smart enough to get a vaccine.
Well,
and the people who are stupid enough to risk their lives.
It's kind of one of those natural selection kind of things.
Darwin deals with them, right?
Boy. Darwinianism right here.
I mean, if there were enough vaccine for everyone, I would say you're an idiot if you don't get the vaccine. But you know what? Let's just keep that a little secret amongst ourselves.
Well, except, you know, there are our listeners.
Except there are
certain communities that are very uneasy about this, you know, and somehow that we've got to actually reassure them.
Unless you have an egg allergy.
Yeah,
unless you are allergic to the same things that make you allergic to every single flu vaccine that's ever had. Mm-hmm. If you've ever successfully taken the flu vaccine, you can take the H1N1 virus. I just know that they need to have enough for young people out there because it's a very interesting flu. Most flus attack old people, and young people, you know, make it fairly unscathed. This is exactly the opposite. It's fascinating the reason why. This virus is a variant of the absolutely worst influenza epidemic ever
in world history.
In 1918, following World War I.
Right.
And tens of millions of people died. More people died in that than actually died in World War
I. Oh, yes.
Right.
And it went all around the world, and there was a little variant that lasted through the 30s and the 40s. If you are 50 years or over, according to the Center for Disease Control, you're probably okay.
Yeah, because you've been exposed to some variants
of
this.
You should take the normal flu
vaccine. Either you died as a kid or your immune system adapted.
You should take the normal flu vaccine, but you're probably okay. The people who are most at risk are the most healthy people who, like they showed on 60 Minutes, this kid who's 16 years old, never been sick in his life.
That was horrible.
And died.
Well, guess what?
Babies are really at risk.
A 17-year-old who lives a mile or two from my house passed away within the lives on the news. Yeah, swine flu. 17 years old. Just came down with it. Within a few days, he died.
Well, so I'm pressing my nephew. If you're listening to me, my nephew, he's 19 years old. Get that vaccine.
Yeah, right.
The problem is they don't have enough yet.
They don't. They were supposed to have their expectations were unrealistic, frankly. But they were going to get 120 to 150 million doses out by the end of October. They've only gotten out about I have the exact figure here somewhere, but it's less than 30 million. It's around 16.5 million. Is all the doses they've gotten
And under 25, you really need to get that vaccine.
Sadly, you can't get it yet.
Those of us between 25 and 50 to get the vaccine. I'm going to get the vaccine, only after the people under 25.
The priority is healthcare workers, then pregnant women, and it varies from state to state, and then from 6 months to 2 years old. 6 months to 2 years old. That's the most vulnerable.
And they can only take, I think, the shot, not the nasal.
The kids.
Right. So if you're between 2 and 25, you can take the nasal, and you don't take the shot.
Oh, and also
there are more of those around.
Right, and also those with compromised immune systems.
Well, and sadly enough, if you go online right now, there's a certain fringe community out there who are starting the conspiracy theory stuff with the swine flu,
the World
some
Trade
kind of government,
the World
thing,
Trade Center building.
I mean, go online.
That's where Darwinism works, Garland.
You're right. Yeah.
People who believe in that conspiracy theory, enough of them will die of swine flu. They won't live to reproduce. That's how it works.
You're harsh today, Mark. You're harsh.
Mark's wiping out the gene pool. I don't know if we need to clear the gene pool out.
I feel very sorry for people who want it, who are intelligent enough to protect themselves and just can't get the vaccine because it hasn't been made enough in time. I feel very bad for the 7-year-olds mm-hmm. that are dying. If you have a parent or you have anyone who says don't take this vaccine because they believe in some crazy conspiracy theory, I don't know. I have less sympathy for
no,
them.
No,
they,
sympathy
they,
at all.
They should, I mean, part of the reason I'm being this harsh is so that people listening to my voice right now know that, yes, I think you're an idiot if you don't get this vaccine. I no two bones about it. You're risking your life.
All right, Mark. You've got about a 1 in 200 chance of dying if you don't get this vaccine.
He's got a pool vacuum here, and he's actually vacuuming out the gene pool, kind of like your backyard pool.
Also, I want you to know this,
I don't play Russian roulette. I take vaccines.
Another reason you got to take this vaccine, because this I know from just from some interviews that I've done, if this thing really breaks loose, which it hasn't yet, but if it really breaks loose
it's
and
already
well,
10 times higher than last year
in the flu season and really breaks loose, the hospitals in America are simply not equipped to handle the problem.
That's true.
Right. They just aren't.
All the people on ventilators. I mean, that's mostly what happens. You stop breathing.
You can't do it. Right. So.
Yeah, your lungs, basically, it's kind of a pneumonia thing. Your lungs fill with fluid, and you have to deal with the fact that your lungs are filled with fluid.
And opportunistic bacteria get in, and that's what kills
them. So if large numbers of people have their lungs filled with fluid, they're not going to be able to address that. So, as we said, you really might want to consider that. Stay calm
because they are manufacturing as fast as they can. There will be more vaccine coming along all from now through December. It'll just keep on coming and coming and coming.
You know what's funny about all of this?
Yeah.
Is that this is the government providing health care. And I think that if you're against the public option, don't get the vaccine. Yeah, you don't need the vaccine. You don't need the government.
Hey, Mitch, go out and make your own. Mitch McConnell, are you listening?
Make your own.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell, you're listening? Don't get a vaccine, Mitch.
No, don't get it.
Forget it.
Save it for those of us that believe the government can do something
you're
good.
You're right.
If you think the government is out a conspiracy to kill you, don't get the vaccine, and don't blame us when something happens to you.
Yeah. And the other point, too, to understand, you know, as we go through, if we get any medical reform here in this country, any health care reform, is that rationing of medical treatment is always the case in any situation.
This is a perfect example.
Right. It is.
People under 25 should get it before people over 65 should be rationed. In this particular case.
It's rationed whether it's vaccine or whether it's a kidney transplant. That's the way you have to do it.
And here I must say that I'm with Mark. Look, if you don't get the vaccine and you wake up dead one day, don't come crying to me.
That's right. May we quote you. Don't invite us to your funeral.
Yeah, don't come crying to me if you wake up dead one day.
And don't bother to make a pledge because you're not going to be here.
No, you can make a pledge.
Yeah, make a pledge. And do it by credit card.
Put your life insurance policy. Put us down as a beneficiary.
You think I'm being harsh today?
We're just trying to encourage them to. Yeah. Okay. And put a little bit of pressure on, well, I guess I can't say that. I was going to say on the government, but it's not really the government.
They're actually going as fast as they
can. It's the manufacturers.
The government scientists got together very soon. President Obama recognized the threat early.
Yep.
He declared a national emergency.
Yep. Yep.
I really do think they're doing the best they can on this. I mean, you know, they actually concocted this stuff.
Yeah, all that happened is the science got a little more complex than they thought in reproducing, and it takes a little bit longer for it to mature before they can release it.
I think they're doing a good job on this. They'll be saving a bunch of lives. So I'm sure the Republicans will find some way to blame it on them.
Of course.
It's because he's a Marxist.
Yeah.
That's why, pigs also like to lie in the mud with other pigs. They're also communist, and so they... Wait, I'm getting there.
Yep.
So they concocted the flu in order to help Obama.
You did say you were sober when you came in. I'm just
Sarah
checking.
Sarah Palin said it just the other day. I'm just checking.
Okay.
As outlandish as that sounds, some of the things I've heard from the teabaggers, somebody believes it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. It's now halfway through the show already, believe it or not, which means we gotta get some pledges here. Now I don't hear those phones ringing.
Well, why don't we take a not only talk pledge for 5 minutes? This has worked the past couple times.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do.
We're gonna talk only about pledge for 5 minutes, just so people who are so engrossed by our incredible swine discussion today
and want to be involved in this calm, thoughtful dialogue.
Right.
And they've been so horrified by Mark, they're running for the door, scrambling to get to somewhere so they can steal swine flu vaccine out of a government truck. For God's sake, they're so horrified. Calm down.
Calm down.
Pledge first, and then go chase down your swine flu vaccine.
202-588.
And if you just want to come on the show and tell me off.
We're in the middle of the phone number here. This is sacred, Mark. I know I've never asked you to shut up, but not on the air. No, but in the middle of the phone number, 202-588-973.
Okay, now.
Or 1-800-222-9739.
Okay, or
you can go to www.wpfw.org.
You can do that.
But call. We want you to call right
make
now.
Make a pledge of any amount you want. Make it more than $50. It'll be matched by Busboys and Poets, Andy Shalaw, which is great. And if you make it for $89.30, you get to sit where Mark is sitting right now.
I don't know. This chair isn't as good as the
other chair. Well, that chair is special, isn't it? Yeah. There's some ergonomic problems we don't want to talk about on the air. But anyway,
you can tell us.
Well, that one doesn't have the blow-up lumbar thing, so
Let's not get into the Carl Rove chair treat kind of things. You know, we don't want to go there at all. But we do want you to call in a pledge, okay? $35 gives you a membership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you get to vote in WPFW.
Or you can even run for the board.
Yes, you can run for the board. You get to be involved. You can serve on the committees, et cetera, that do have a lot of voice of what's going to happen on WPFW. So you can get on there and say, hey, yes, Garland, Terry and Mark should have at least, you know, 2 or 3 hours a night.
Absolutely.
You
know,
right. Minimum.
Like just every single night.
Just to see if we can wear ourselves out, if nothing else. You know.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, given that medication that you're on, Terry.
I don't think so either. Anyway, 202-588-9739. Call in. Make a pledge. $10, $50, $89.30.
And you know what? If you're scared to go in the Raucous Caucus, I don't blame you, because Terry does bite. So
yes.
If you want to pledge, say $200 and not appear with us.
That's okay, too.
We will be very, very thankful.
Yeah.
You can be anonymous. You don't have to come on the show. You can just sit back and listen to us. You don't have to perform.
And we wish we could extend the invitation for the dinner situation, but, you know, we're already paying a portion of that out of our own pockets, just so you know, so we've got to keep that where it is. But you can make this pledge to join us, and you can be involved in the selection of the topic, and you will be right here on the air with us.
You know what? If they give $200, we could reopen the dinner situation. But we'll talk about it.
Well, we might be able to do that. All right, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or visit us online at www.wpfw.org. Have we got somebody here that's already – that's a note? Is it profound?
Oh, yeah, I figured this. It's probably for Mark. I'm getting – no, go ahead.
What,
are you reading my letters?
Where have you seen the scientific study of reinsign flu and its efficacy? Okay, there's a question from a listener.
I think the
$89.30, and we'd be happy to answer. In fact, you can come on and answer it yourself. $89.30.
It's a non-pledging listener.
Yes, you can bring your scientific studies that you've Googled and from Wikipedia and just sit here.
Should I answer the question?
Yeah, my answer to the question is simply, you know, at some point, some trust has to be involved. And either you begin to trust the CDC, which I really honestly believe is one of the most responsible organizations.
Right.
And not only that, the World Health Organization of the United Nations, they are involved in it as well. If you can't, you know, if your trust has eroded that far,
But if you are a true conspiracy theorist, they're all involved.
In fact, in
the purest of conspiracy theories, you're the only person in the world who's not involved in the conspiracy.
Well, that would be a conspiracy.
That's the...
That's you can't have a conspiracy by yourself.
That's the purest conspiracy.
Everyone else. It's called the last man in the world theory.
But to give respect to Mr. Johnson.
To give respect to Mr. Johnson, I mean, I know there are some doctors who are concerned about it. I've even talked to some. But the CDC.
Here's the trick.
The CDC, you know, I mean, that's
the and the OHU.
The ingredients in this vaccine are no different from the ingredients in any other flu vaccine. They are, you know, the concoction, the brew, if you will, is different to deal with this particular threat. But there's no ingredients in there that aren't any other ordinary flu vaccine. So unless you're one of those extremely rare people that's allergic to the regular flu vaccine, and generally they say that's only if you have an egg allergy.
There's a few other things you might have to be concerned with, but you'd have to have really peculiar, really peculiar.
You mean there's no chip in there from the no microchip from the government so they can?
Shh, Carly. No, no, no.
You're giving away.
No, no, no. Besides, those chips are from Verizon. Let's get that straight.
That's true. The corporations have a lot more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if you heard. Speaking of corporations, we have to fear about.
Yes.
Did you read about recently? Of course, President Obama and the Congress want to have net neutrality. They want to say that on the internet, people like Verizon can't say, "Oh, we're only going to give Verizon." Verizon customers,
right.
Verizon information. We're not going to let you know about an alternative corporate or about
right.
WPF.
Comcast.
We're not going to run WPFW stream because they keep attacking corporations.
Right.
And the Republicans want them to do that.
Well, of course.
The Republicans, of course, want corporations to be able to decide who you listen to, how fast you listen to
them.
They actually want to censor what you read on the internet, and they're defending it. And you know who's the biggest defender? The same
Verizon.
Person. No, no, no. I'm going to tell you the member of Congress.
Not Mitch again.
Who gets more money from telecommunications companies than any other and is the biggest opponent of net neutrality. It may surprise you. It is not Mitch McConnell. It is a certain man named John McCain.
Oh, what a shock.
John McCain gets
John,
more money
John,
than anyone
John,
else
John, John, John.
From the telecommunications
company.
Well,
you've got eight houses. Think of those mortgage payments.
You're right.
Come
and
on.
He wants to make sure that everything you see on the internet is censored so that only the corporation that you buy from, you only get to read from them.
Okay, but before we get on
and
to all
that
topic.
Where did you get
that
scientific information as to how many houses he has? He doesn't even know how many houses
well,
he knows.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
yeah, so
know,
how do you know?
But they report
he's
anyway,
unsure.
Okay, we have... this is really a great pledge, I have to tell you. I mean, this is a great pledge. This is from... I'm going to mispronounce this, but I think it's Arnita Bowens. I think that's correct. And she's from Rivergate, Maryland. And she has given us a nice, good pledge, and I think it's an...
Enough for her to join
oh,
us?
Oh, yes, it's enough for her to join us on the air, so we're going to assume that you want to do that. And it does say here, tell Terry, dig hell of out of you.
What?
Tell Terry, digs the hell out of me. You.
Tell...
I guess she likes Terry.
She likes
she
Terry.
Likes Terry.
She
likes,
you know, this is a
she
woman.
She digs the hell out of something. Maybe she's supposed to dig hell into you.
This is a person of class and intelligence.
I don't know.
And she's made a generous pledge and going to join us on the air. And, you know, we're set. And it's a renewal. And we thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh,
and,
do we have to...
you know, no, we can't ring the bell because
oh,
it's
well,
a, I'm
not
going to hand
bell.
It to you.
I want to
see ring the bell.
I'm not sure I believe the praise for you, Terry.
No. I tell you, the trust
tell
is eroded.
Terry, dig hell of out of you.
Yeah, no, I don't make this stuff up, guys.
All right.
Jeez, I mean, I'm just. You
wait
know,
a minute. It says, tell
envy
Terry
is
I want to beat
not
the.
But the point is, gentlemen, besides the high praise, is that we now have somebody indeed courageous enough to join us here, which means, just
ooh.
Like with the dinner situation, you know, we got one pledge first, and as soon as we got that one pledge, then another pledge just started rolling in because they realized the dinner thing was for real.
At the end of the hour.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, but don't forget to pledge. Give me the number again, please.
$89.30, 202-588-9739.
And you can pledge more than that.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
More than that.
It's okay. And this is the last night of that. We're not going to bother you with any more. And this
is several months.
This is the only opportunity you're going to get. You're not going to get it from any other show, I don't think, to come on here and be on the air with us. It's just not going to happen.
Think about that. The raucous caucus, all the laughing and jokes.
And jokes and
all the fun.
No one can laugh at you, too. Wait, no.
No. We won't do that. No. Okay, gentlemen, let's move on to another topic here and see if we get any reaction to this, and I'm sure we will because it's a topic that's on everybody's mind, and that is, what in heaven's name are we going to do about Afghanistan? What should be done? Let's take a serious moment and have a little serious conversation.
Hey, I got a comment.
Is it serious?
Yes. I mentioned I said it today. Someone was talking about, is the president going to do this and is going to do that? I said, from my perspective, it's like this. And we've all heard this metaphor before. It's like someone's driven a car off a cliff, and halfway down, they say, here, you take the wheel. There is no win. Whatever he does. You know, a lot of people get mad at the president because he's putting troops in. He's not taking troops in. He's giving them 50,000. He's going to give them. The way I see it is this. He got handed such an ungodly mess in Iraq and Afghanistan. It doesn't matter what he does, best case scenario is going to be catastrophic. I can't get mad at him for whatever decision
I don't think
he makes
that's the issue.
Because it's catastrophic,
yeah.
Whatever happens.
I mean, it's not... I mean,
and Pakistan's the problem.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, there is a serious problem with Afghanistan, and the country has to have a serious dialogue on it. I mean, they really honestly do.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I mean, because it's a real mess. I mean, you probably saw today, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs has said that President Obama will announce his policy or his changes, if any, either at any moment or in the next few weeks. I mean, you know, they're having this huge discussion about now. Let me finish with these little points here. Also, you probably saw in the paper today the highly ranked, highly regarded U.S. official in the Foreign Service, Matthew Ho, resigned, saying my resignation is not based on how we are pursuing this war, but why and to what end. On the other hand, General Stanley McChrystal is asking for 40,000 more troops. Senator John Kerry, on the other hand, head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is saying McChrystal's request reaches too far and too fast. On the other hand, Kabul and the government is in corrupt chaos. Where are we? What do we do about this? Should we be involved? Should we simply pull out? Can we pull out? What do we do, Mark?
Give me about one minute. Can I have about 1 to 2 minutes?
You can
and I will tell
you,
you the problem in the Middle East. I will sum it all up, the problem in Afghanistan and Iraq, okay? There is no such thing as Afghanistan or Iraq. There is no such thing. We fooled ourselves into believing there's such thing as Afghanistan and Iraq. The problem is the United States looks at the Middle East and they see the United States with all these borders. You know what Iraq really is? You've got Pashtun land, which goes... Afghanistan,
right.
You've got Pashtun land, which runs through part of Afghanistan
and part of
Pakistan. The Middle East is tribal. You've got what we call Iran and Iraq. You've got Iran, which the Shiite strip goes down into southern. What happened was this. The Middle East is made up of tribal areas that are still tribal areas. Arbitrarily, the Brits and other Western powers came in and drew these arbitrary lines and called them countries, and we act as though those lines are real countries. When we recognize that those lines are not real countries, they're arbitrary lines. The only place you'll see them is on a map that we made or that's printed. In reality, we must address the fact that they're tribal areas.
How? And that, all right, except what you're saying, no argument with that at all, particularly true in Afghanistan. How do you address a tribal situation? Or do you? Or do you just back off?
Mark!
Garland says
Mark,
the problem,
what's the answer, Mark?
And then he leaves it to me to
there
have the grand solution. I'll have Afghanistan solved in about 3 minutes. Not a problem. You know who asked me this just recently? Bill O'Reilly, believe it or not, on The Factor. He didn't let me talk very much.
Shock. We give you more airtime than you deserve. I don't know what the end would go right
now. He spent most of the time complaining about Arianna Huffington and Joe Biden.
Yeah. Anyway, the answer. The hell with Bill O'Reilly.
No. But here's what I tried.
Whoops, I can't say that.
Here's what I tried to tell Bill O'Reilly before he cut me off. Garland's right. It is a tribal area. And I think the person who's got the best handle on this happens to be the Vice President of the United States. I have always been a fan of Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
I was a fan of Joe Biden from way back when. He runs his mouth. It's true. But he does so because he's got a lot to say.
He's
a very smart man.
Yeah,
and I kind of like a guy who has very little filter. And Joe
Biden me too.
He's got very little filter.
He fit in right
little.
Here on the Raucous Caucus. We need him here.
Right.
Here's what Joe...
Yeah, in fact, you should call in and give a pledge right now, Joe.
Here's what Joe Biden discovered. He discovered that Hamid Karzai, the head of Afghanistan, the person we really wanted to believe in, he came up from the Loya Jirga, he came up from the tribal, he's pro-American. Turns out he is corrupt.
Yeah. Well, wait
but,
a minute.
To Hamid Karzai, virtually every leader in Afghanistan is corrupt, okay? So he has his corruption, he has his warlords, he has his brother doing awful things, he has his area around Kabul, and there's another 100 warlords throughout Afghanistan. Most of them are corrupt as well. Now, there was a time, and people forget this, there was a time when Afghanistan was a relatively stable government. From about 1935 to 1975, they were ruled by a king, and frankly, that was pretty good.
Yeah, but the ruling was pretty loose, too. I mean,
But that's the point.
Yeah.
Afghanistan will do best as a federal society. It's one of the things I've always respected about Joe Biden. He said the same thing about
Iraq. Loose confederacy.
He said about Iraq, let the Kurds have their area, the Shiites have their area, the Sunnis have their area. We need to remember that our own country did not really begin as a very united states. The individual colonies, they were considered separate, independent
lands.
We need to consider that
the reason they used the name United States
was saying separate states, separate commonwealths,
right. Not one country.
So here's what Joe Biden understands.
You guys moving to the right on me. I don't like the way this conversation is going.
There's nothing wrong with
states' rights, and I'm going to be picking cotton.
Particularly for an earth.
We won't let that happen. Don't worry, guys.
states' rights stuff creeps me out. For a decentralized country, it makes sense to have local control.
You got to understand one other thing, though. I mean, when you've got a society that has been ripped apart from some 40 years of war, it is, in fact, natural, unfortunately, that you have warlords
people
and corruption.
Stick to their clans. They stick to their
families. Where they survive.
There's Pashtuns. There's Uzbeks. There's Tajiks.
You got a corrupt society because of what's happened beforehand.
So here's the answer.
Okay.
So the answer is to give them some peace. But how do you give them peace?
The answer is not necessarily more troops, though. If President Obama decides they need more troops, I'm going to respect his decision. But the answer is really to give a little bit of local autonomy. Allow. And let's be fair. These people are not our founding fathers. They're actually even more corrupt than our slave-owning founding fathers. But the idea – the Republicans think that the surge in Iraq worked. They are wrong. There is something, though, that did work in Iraq, and some call it the Sunni awakening.
Yep.
Basically, what we did is we gave the Sunnis, who are a minority in Iraq, we gave them enough local power, local autonomy. We gave them a stake in their nation so much that they stopped supporting Al-Qaeda.
Okay, we're leaving out one factor
here,
gentlemen.
The biggest factor
Taliban.
Is most of Al-Qaeda is in Pakistan.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But
General Jim Jones, the head of the National Security Agency, there's less than 100 Al-Qaeda left in Afghanistan.
And there are other groups. Yeah. There are other groups that are now even more powerful than Al-Qaeda.
But is Taliban in Afghanistan, but from what we know, it seems that about 70% of them are not there because they support Al-Qaeda. They're not there necessarily because they hate the United States. They're there because they see us as an occupying force. So if we have a smaller footprint,
that's why this guy left.
Hamlet in Afghanistan.
Okay, but how do you convince the American people then, and the right? I mean, going against the right, you know what I mean?
How do you convince the right?
You don't have to worry about convincing them, but they're going to, you know, you can't surrender. You got to give them more force.
I'm not saying surrender. You know, that's what Bill O'Reilly was trying to get me to say.
But that's rhetoric. That's mindless
rhetoric. But you have to pull back.
He was trying to get me say that the left wants the Taliban to take over. That, I told him, was false. We don't want them to take over. I do not want to pull troops out of Afghanistan. What I'm saying is we don't necessarily need to put a bunch more troops in.
You know, you have to do, let's be honest, Saddam Hussein understood how things work. No, I am.
Okay.
You know,
you
got
to try to control topics with these guys.
No, I'm just saying one of the ways that he ran Iraq was local tribal leaders. Fallujah could never be controlled.
How did the Roman Empire work?
The tribal leaders. He understood that in that part of the world, you negotiate and you bargain exactly what Mark's saying.
But the question is,
we're going to have to negotiate with the moderate wing of the Taliban. We're going to have to do that to get out of there.
Thank you.
The Brits said it a long time. You're going to have to do that or you're not going to get out of there because they have areas of the country where you're not going to.
It's not that I disagree with you, Garland. I wouldn't phrase it like that. The way I see it is this. There's hardcore Taliban that are out to kill every American. And there are people, I won't call them the moderate wing of the Taliban. I would say people who are opportunistic Taliban followers.
Right.
People who join because they happen to offer safety, or they happen to offer jobs, or they happen to offer money to people in need. So they don't really believe in the Taliban at all.
Right.
They've just joined in because they've said, you know, we'll kill your family if you don't join us.
And it's the easiest thing they live.
So I don't want to call them moderate Taliban. I would call them opportunistic people who look and see which way the wind is blowing.
Let me tell you a little historical fact to put this in perspective. In colonial Williamsburg, occasionally the Patriots, so-called, the American Army occupied and controlled colonial Williamsburg. Occasionally, the British controlled colonial Williamsburg, including Benedict Arnold, as a matter of fact. And each time they came through, each group, the citizens, would sign basically a loyalty oath to whichever army was there.
And
this is in America.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you don't do that when the Americans are there, you're in big trouble. If you don't do that when the British are there, you're in big trouble.
New York was occupied by the British practically the entire Revolutionary War, and they feted the British. They took them to balls.
It's the outlawed Josie Wales. You ever see that? The guy that's taking the people across the river, and when he's taking Union soldiers, he's singing like an American song.
He
drops them off, and he picks up the Confederate soldiers. He starts whistling Dixie.
That's right.
He's a smart guy.
But people are afraid, and they're sticking with. And so that's why it may be that we do need more troops.
Maybe we have to withdraw partially. Secure Kabul
carefully and very detailed. And I'm glad he is, because someone needs to look at these situations carefully before they start dragging 40,000 young men and women.
As you all know, this month of October is the highest fatality rate so far in the 8 years or whatever that we've been in Afghanistan.
True, but it's still less than Iraq. So let's have a little bit of perspective.
And the other thing is, one thing we're all seeming to agree on, and that is this. The way out is you're going to have to negotiate with people that aren't necessarily nice people that you wouldn't want running our country, that you wouldn't really want to normally
You mean
negotiate.
Like Saudi princes, for instance?
Yeah, there we go. No. So you're going to have to negotiate your way out.
We need to recognize what happened in Vietnam. Okay, and remember, in Vietnam, we didn't have 20,000 or 60,000 troops. We had 500,000 troops, and Vietnam was smaller, and we still didn't manage to ever beat Vietnam.
There's a simple fact militarily. You cannot win in a civil war, and that's what we have reduced this to. It is a civil war now. We're trying to make it a civil war. We're trying to make it Kabul against the Pashtuns. We're trying to make it Kabul against the Taliban. Yeah. These are all the same people, like we've pointed out, that are floating back and forth in this chaos, trying to find a way to survive while we try to arm one group, then another group,
Let's
then another group.
Let's talk about some good news.
Okay. Good news
in Afghanistan?
News.
Yes, there's good news in Afghanistan.
Okay.
The good news is that through United States pressure, and I think only through pressure from the Obama administration, Hamid Karzai has recognized that his vote was fraudulent, and he's going to have a runoff election. We need to do every damn thing we can do to make sure this runoff election
and
is
And we
fair
have to persuade his opponent, whose opponent who has said
Abdullah
he won't participate. You know, because it's so corrupt. If nothing else, what we're showing here, gentlemen, or anything else, is really incredibly complex this
People
is.
People need to have faith in their government. That's the heart of it.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just say this. Even at that, we're looking at this, oh boy, vote and democracy and all that. Let me say this. We see that as the perfect way to do things. Everybody votes and everything's going to work fine. 70% of the people in Afghanistan are illiterate.
That's right.
They can't even read the ballots. I'm not saying they shouldn't have the right to vote, but let's face it. If 70% of the people in your country can't even read the ballots, how informed are these voters really going to be? And I'm not against
democracy.
Oh, let's
not get into informed voters.
Well, yeah, they'll be about the same as it is here.
Yeah, right,
here's the heart of the issue.
Look at the polls in Virginia.
But the real point is,
speaking of Taliban,
I'm very worried about the people in Virginia.
I think it began with what Garland said in the very beginning, and that is there's no easy answer to this. There's no win-win in this situation. It is tough. It is difficult. It is almost impossible. Whatever we do, we have to tread a little bit more lightly than we are treading now.
And it's going to be a catastrophe when we leave.
Here's what Vice President Biden said, according to a recent Newsweek article. He said there's 30 times the Taliban in Pakistan that there is in Afghanistan, and yet we're spending 30 times in Afghanistan what we are in Pakistan. Until we recognize that right now, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the real problem is in Pakistan, and Afghanistan is mostly a sideshow, we're never going to solve it.
Yeah, but if we turn Pakistan into an open civil war, which is what's going to
happen.
Well, if we keep on pushing the Taliban, that's exactly what's going to happen.
No, we let the Pakistani government push the Taliban.
That's what I mean.
That's
called a civil war.
But remember
war.
What they did.
You know
what the Pakistani government did.
Remember what they did before.
They negotiate with the moderate wing
that's
of the Taliban.
Right.
Remember
that's
they did
right.
that
they
before?
Did.
They understand how it works. They negotiated a truce with the moderate wing of the Taliban.
And what happened, Garland? They broke the truce, and they took over the Swat Valley, and they started marching in the capital of Islamabad, and the truce was actually a good idea, not because the Taliban kept it, but because it showed the Pakistanis that the Taliban could not be trusted.
Okay, we have one more really... we got one more really important thing here, guys.
Okay.
Really important.
Let's give out the phone number?
Yeah, we got to give out the phone
pledge.
Number.
We've only got one person courageous enough. I can understand why after the last discussion.
You're right about that.
But we've only got one person courageous enough to join us on the air here. We're offering to let you join us here on the Raucous Caucus Dialogue. We will even have a very civil conversation, if that's what you want.
Speak for yourself. just joking there.
I was trying to.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Oh, brother. Anyway, this is an opportunity for $89.30. You can join us here on the air.
Give $50.
Or just give $50 and have your pledge met.
Yeah.
Or give $35 and become a member of WPFW. Or give $10 just to indicate your support.
That you like dialogue and want to keep
seeing
Tuesday nights at 7
here,
p.m.
And guess what? You bring your digital camera. You sit here on the air. You take pictures.
Some of us may even smile.
Yeah, occasionally.
Pictures with the 89.3 WPFW FM mic in front of you. We all
huddle
around you in a circle.
Well, it's not really gold, but
And put this up on your wall. All your friends will look. I was on WPFW.
You can bring fake weaponry and pretend to stab one of us.
We've only got
about 9 minutes left. We need about 9 more pledges to make our goal. So we need 9 more people to call. call in right now at 202-588-9739 or
1-800-222-9739.
This is the end of the pledge drive. I know it's been going on for a while. Some of you are tired, but some of you haven't made a pledge yet.
Right.
You know, and that's what we need you to do, to simply make a pledge. Call up right now. Make a pledge of any amount you can. Join us on the air. Get a membership in WPFW. Contribute $50 and have that match somehow or other. You got to show your support for what we're doing on WPFW, and what we're doing here in Raucous Caucus.
And you know what? We have, and all jokes aside, we have some very, very intelligent callers.
Oh,
I mean, we have
guessed.
Some brilliant
have
people
callers.
Who call in, and I mean, they understand the issues, and I mean, I don't understand
well, look
half
at this,
the words they're saying.
Look at this person that pledged that said, you know, dig Terry, you know, really dig the
Terry,
hell out of
stop,
you.
Beat this guy could pat his back so hard,
yeah.
His hand would
hurts.
Go through.
Oh, we'll be hearing that for a long time. He's going to blow that up and put it behind.
I'm going to find the pledgers that pledged 2 weeks ago when I was hosting, because they were praising me.
No,
but
really?
Whatever the case.
Yeah, was that Bill Riley?
No.
Hey, anyway, pledge.
Fox, huh?
We need you to pledge. We really honestly do. This is the last night of pledging. It's going to be months beforehand. WPFW has got to sustain itself for the next 4 or 5 months, however long it is between pledge drive.
Yeah.
Got to sustain itself economically. That cost, what is it? Is it $90,000 a month? Something like that?
At least.
It's a large amount of money that it costs to operate this station. And that's including the fact that 90% of the people that you hear here, that work here, that are engineers, are volunteers. It still costs a heck of a lot of money to keep WPFW on the air. And
that's because we don't take corporate sponsors.
Right. We don't take corporate sponsors.
If we did, we'd have no problem at all, except that we probably couldn't tell you half the things we say. No.
Right, right.
But you can come on. Think about this. This is an opportunity that will not come across your table very often.
No.
You can come on here. WPFW, listen to it all the time, especially with us. You can talk about within reason. You can talk. Oh, how about this? You can talk about whatever the conversation we're talking about that night. But you can certainly make make recommendations, and you know we'll go along with you.
And if you join us on the air as one of our co-hosts, then you can be involved much more closely. Well, what other station in the country, public or otherwise, is going to make you that kind of offer?
Yeah,
there's none.
None.
They wouldn't risk it.
That's true.
They simply wouldn't take the risk of having a stranger come on here and get involved in the conversation, or having unscreened phone calls. Who else in this whole city has any radio show besides WPFW that doesn't screen their calls? You remember that person you get online that says, you know, what is your question and
what
all
do you
of
have
that?
To say?
Yeah, and where are you from? And if your question we don't like it, then we don't put you on the air. And it's real simple. Not WPFW.
And they say this, and believe me, they say the same thing to their hosts.
Yeah, okay. But we, no matter what your comment is, now we may disagree, we may say that's not in our topic, we may even say we don't want to go there tonight, we'll talk about it another time, but we do not screen our calls. There's nobody else on the air that doesn't screen
people
the calls.
Call in and they want to talk about a certain two buildings in New York
don't
that fell,
and
we don't even screen them out.
That's true, we don't.
Now, 202-588-9739.
We've got 5 minutes left. We need 5 more pledges. I want 30 seconds, as a Virginian, to make a comment and a threat.
30 seconds, you got. Let's see if Mark can do it in 30 seconds. Go.
My comment is that all the people that went out there to vote for President Obama, all the people that go out there to vote for members of Congress, there is an election every year in November. The most right-wing candidate ever to run in Virginia in about 20 years looks like, if you don't go and vote, he will win the race. And here's my threat. I am going to go on air. I'm going to choose a random precinct in our listening area in Virginia. I'm going to find out who didn't vote. That's public record, by the way. And I'm going to read your names on the air.
Ooh,
because
I
think you should be shamed if you do not vote in this election.
For Cray Deeds.
So that's my comment.
Whoops, can't endorse an exact candidate. Yes, we can. Sure, I can. Yeah.
Vote straight down Democratic ticket.
No,
Republicans are the most right-wing ever in the last 20 years in
and
Virginia.
To give you an example of this, his running mate, whose name for the life of me I cannot recall, and I apologize
Jefferson
for that.
Davis? I don't know.
Bill Bowling.
Yeah. His running mate,
Bill Bowling,
actually introduced a bill into the Virginia House that if you were to be fired from your job and part of the reason was that you didn't adequately speak English, even though you were a citizen of the United States, you could not collect unemployment.
Wow.
I mean, if there's ever been a more blatant example of
I'll give you a blip.
Racism and everything else, it's the Republicans who are now running for control of this state.
McDonald, the governor, has pledged that once he becomes governor, he's going to make sure that every single person who works for the government in Virginia who's gay can be fired. He wants to make sure that you could be working there 20 years, you could be the best employee, you lose your job because this guy's governor, and he thinks that if you're gay, you shouldn't have work
in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So McDonald's gonna offer jobs, but not for gays, not for Hispanics.
That's right.
You know, not for people who don't speak perfect English. I mean,
remember, the person he said was the biggest evil in America. He said it was feminists, working women. He doesn't believe, he actually voted against equal pay for equal work.
Yes,
he did. Whoever votes against that? Even John McCain supports equal pay for equal work.
And
Who says that women should get less pay than men?
And let me tell you another reason why all of you Democrats and Republicans and independents better start voting Democratic in this Virginia election, because if you don't, it's going to swing into the Republican Party.
They're going to redistrict the heck out of it.
They're going to redistrict the heck out of it to begin with. They also, it's going to be used as a sign. It's going to be made a big issue that this is the future of the country and all of that.
It's going to attack on Obama.
Attack on Obama.
If you voted for Obama, you have no business voting for Obama.
And I'll tell you this, too. Mitch Romney is already back into the scene. He gave a huge speech in San Diego, again using the word evil to describe foreign powers rather than talk to them, and even implying that it's evil to talk to them. So Mitch is coming back. Mitch O'Connell.
Right. You know. Hey, we only got a couple minutes left.
We do. Let's get some pledges.
Yeah,
202-588-9739. We need some new members.
If you're afraid to go in there, that's fine. Yeah. You know, just pledge the money. I mean, WPFW needs the money. And, you know, if you want to come on air, and that's great. We'd love to
have
you.
We need your support. We need your member. We got to remind you, by the way, though, that it is our show, and many shows here, are engineered tonight, in fact, by Cassandra Giddings and Jasmine Blackman.
Yay!
And we are closing out the pledge drive tonight.
202-588-9739.
It's Brother Ah tonight, isn't it? No, it's
no,
not.
No, it's Robin's Place.
It's Robin's Place. Okay.
8 to 10.
8 to 10. Robin's Place will be closing out the pledge drive. Last week, we did get pledges even after we finished the show. We got more pledges for the dinner.
Yeah.
So you can still call in after the show if you decide, geez, I really do want to be on the air with those guys. Those guys are okay.
Yeah. Or if you just want to support Dialogue and say that you like what we do, we'd appreciate a pledge, even if it's $5.
And we know by the listeners who call in here that you do like Dialogue, that you want to participate in Dialogue, because you do call in. I hope you've pledged as well. 202-588-9739.
Oh, and since we're getting out of here, if you want to get in touch with me, Facebook me at Garland Nixon, GARLANDNIXON. I need some more Facebook friends, and I can fill you in on what's happening here.
We only got 2,000 so far?
You could Facebook me, too, Mark Levine, MARKLEVINE. Find out why I'm in 5 Washington, D.C. newspapers today. It's on my Facebook page.
Police beat. The blotter.
That's not no, why, Garland! God! It's because of marriage equality. But you can read the details. I'm in the Washington Post today.
Okay. And final number, 202-588-9739. Listen tomorrow morning to What's at Stake. We'll be on with a fascinating show for you all. We also have the first drama ever presented here in WPFW in the last 30-some years. It's called The Last Vial, The Last Vial of Medicine. That's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. I'm Terry D. Kester. This is
Garland Swine Flu Nixon.
And Mark Levine.
Mark Levine. You can contact us all through WPFW.org. Give a listen to Robin's Place next, and thank you so very much.